The first state to sign up was the city of Mantinea. Mantinea is on the crucial highway that leads out of Laconia, that is the heartland of the Spartan state. The road goes first to a town called Tegea, which is the oldest and staunchest ally of Sparta. It's a traditional oligarchy. The Tegeans are of the race known as the Arcadians. They speak a very ancient dialect of Greek. In fact, their form of Greek probably goes back to the language represented on the Linear B tablets. They claim that they were autochthonous, that is, they were native to the area. They'd never been conquered by the Dorians. And the Tegeans always claim that they stand next to the Spartans on the right wing, as they do at the Battle of Mantinea in 418, just as they did at the Battle of Plataea in 479. Tegea has no interest in getting hooked up with Argos. But the city of Mantinea, just north of Tegea, was a rival to Tegea. It was also an Arcadian city. The Mantineans were superb hoplites. They fought with great distinction in the Archidamian War, particularly in northwest Greece. They had remodeled their constitution as a democracy. They had carried out what the Greeks called a synoikismos, that is the gathering of all the villages into a single polis with walls. They had territorial claims against both Tegea and Sparta. They immediately joined the Argive-sponsored league. They were followed almost just as quickly by the Aeolians, who control the presidency of the Olympic Games, and also had territorial disputes with Sparta, particularly in the area around Leprium and a district known as the Triphalia on the southern borders, where the Spartans had settled new citizens. They're known as Neodomnes. These were probably Perioeci, who had gained citizenship in the Peloponnesian War for their bravery, and the veterans who had served with Brasidas in the Chalcidice. And so there were repeated border clashes going on in that district. The Aeolians, too, joined into the alliance with Argos. The Corinthians had no choice but to join. They were followed by Amphipolis and some of the cities in the Chalcidice. But this league began to appear very quickly to be an anti-Spartan league. And that caused great concern to the Corinthians, who really wanted to turn that league into a league that could be used by Sparta to renew the war against Athens. The Corinthians made all sorts of moves and some really incredible diplomatic stunts to convince Tegea, Megara, and Thebes to join. They all foundered. The one in Thebes was particularly mismatched, where the Corinthians are trying to tell the Thebans that it's in their interest to join Argos. The Thebans have no interest in joining this radical democracy, and eventually the whole scheme falls apart, and the Thebans are quite happy to have their own armistice with Athens, a 10-day armistice renewable every 10 days. And so by early 420 BC, this Corinthian gambit of creating a new alliance around Argos that could be handed over to Sparta and then used against Athens is falling apart. In fact, what the Corinthians seem to be doing is creating an alliance structure that is more likely to align with Athens to destroy Sparta. Nonetheless, even though the Corinthian plans had failed, they had sown enough ill will across the Peloponnesus and in Athens by these frequent diplomatic missions, that in both Athens and Sparta, there were political figures and at least part of the assemblies of both cities willing to consider the renewal of the war. In the case of Sparta, something very unusual happened early in 420 BC. Two of the men elected ephors, and it's still a debate how this is done, men called Xenares and Caleobulus. We know very little about them. They are told to us by Thucydides to have been men against the peace of Nicias. And in violation to Spartan conventions and procedures, they indulged on some of their own diplomacy and at one point were cooperating with the Corinthians to bring the Thebans into that alliance with Argos because they fell in with Corinthian plans that maybe it would be a good idea to promote this alliance around Argos to renew the war. As I said, this plan was too complicated. It eventually fell apart. But it is indicative of the disputes going on in Sparta. As I've mentioned, the Spartan authorities, the Gerousia, the two kings who also sat on the Gerousia, the council, and the ephors, usually reached agreements by consensus. The kind of debate and voting you have in Athens probably didn't take place. And then they brought an issue before the assembly. And the assembly would vote yes or no. That would be all the free Spartan citizens. Well, in this case, two out of the five ephors engaged in their own secret diplomacy. And rather than think that this represented some kind of, you know, political faction or party, what it indicates is the depth of resentment that was emerging, at least among some Spartans, over the Peace of Nicias and the sense that they had let their Peloponnesian allies down. That in agreeing to that peace, Athens had really won the peace. Maybe not the war, but the peace. They had let down fellow Dorian states, old-term alliances and friendships, and that is what was driving the Corinthians to intrigue with Argos. That was causing Thebes and Megara not to agree to the peace and come to their own arrangements with Athens. And maybe there was a higher good here that somehow the war should be renewed. Certainly the peace as it stood was not acceptable in the eyes of either of these ephors, and they felt that many of their fellow citizens would agree.